Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning, and you set your clocks at the right time and all that good stuff. So we're glad to see everybody here. We're going to start off this morning with We Bring the Sacrifice of Praise. Heard this on maybe on the radio or something, We Fall Down. It's a Chris Tomlin song. Eric found a couple of these, and they're really beautiful, so I hope that you will enjoy singing these. Sweet one, but it's just has so much meaning to it. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days. Take my feet and let them be. This morning, Lord, we thank you for everyone that's here. We thank you for bringing us here safely. We just ask your presence to stay with us during this full service, and we feel your presence, and we just love that feeling to know that you're here with us. Lord, we ask you to be with Pastor Jay as he brings us the message today, and just open our hearts to hear what your words are. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for praises and prayers, and the one I want to lift up is I got a chance to go to Canoocopia with Mike over the last couple of days, and it was a real blessing. And one of the things that that really kind of stuck with me is one of the presentations was a man who's a photographer and a writer and a travel log guy, and he said his title of his presentation is With New Eyes. And his focus was to look at the world and see things with new eyes. And he was really speaking from a secular perspective, but it really took to me to really say that that's what God is calling us to do, is to see the world around, to see people that we meet in our family and people who meet on the street, wherever we are planted, to see that with new eyes and to really look deep into who that God would have us be and who he is as well, is that to see him with new eyes. And it's amazing how you can read scripture at different times and it's like, wow, today I didn't know that was how was that a hidden message to me before? And you see things that way with new eyes. And so that was just a really powerful message, and to me it was a real blessing that Mike asked me to go with him. So to be together with a brother in Christ is pretty awesome for a couple of days. So, I want to read, before we start prayer today, is from 2 Samuel 7, 22. O Lord, for there is none like you. There is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. There is no one like him, and he hears our prayers. And he is concerned about us and loves us and wants us to bring our concerns to him, and ultimately to pray for all of our salvation, to know him and to know that we have a place in heaven. So let's lift up all these things. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day that we can gather in your house. We feel your presence with us today. We thank you that you came down from heaven to take on the flesh and to become the man Jesus, and to walk with us, and to so that we know that you understand our sorrows. You also understand our joys that we have as well, and what it is to enjoy a sunshine, and what it is to see the snow flittering down, and what it is to enjoy your beautiful world that you have made for us, and also to be with our family and with our friends, and that you made each one of us in your image. So we thank you, Lord, for just for who you are and how awesome you are. We thank you for the times that we can spend with our brothers and sisters in Christ and help to raise each other up, and that so that iron can sharpen iron, and we can be walk closer to you. We thank you for this church family, dear Lord, and for all the members of this family, and may each of us be strengthened in our walk with you, and to dig deeper into your word, and to be lovers of you, and to understand that we are to sent to be made disciples for you, that not just to stay and to keep what your word a secret, but it to be a secret for each one of us that we can't keep, that we just have to tell everyone that we meet about. Thank you that Deb and I have been able to return back to this church family and back home again, and to be where it is that that you have planted us for this season. We thank you for that, Lord. Be with BJ this within her surgery coming up, and be with the doctors, and let that all go well so that she can use her right hand again and be able to write and use the computer without pain. We thank you, dear Lord, that 30 years ago that there was a miracle that happened, that when Terry was born, that she was born early on our terms, but just on time in your economy, just on time. That you have been with walking with her her 30 years, and just continue to bless her life, and we're just so thankful for her and the Bell family. Be with Pam with her loss of Wayne, and also with Sylvia, loss of Art, and all of those who are missing them, and that we know that they're in your glory, but we also ache here that they're not with us every day, but we will see them again someday in glory, and we pray for that day. And Lord, just thank you for who you are and the work that you're going to continue to do in this church, and help us to be the people that want to follow your great commission to teach and to baptize and to make disciples to the ends of the earth, because we know that you will be with us through the ages. We thank you for who you are, in Jesus' name, amen.
How I long to breathe the air of heaven, where pain is gone and mercy fills the streets, to look upon the one who bled to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will have be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer we prayed in desperation, the songs of faith we sang through doubt and fear, and in the end we'll see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. There will be a day when all will bow before him. There will be a day when death will be no more, standing face to face with he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And on that day we join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of our faith, and with one voice voice a thousand generations. Sing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Had that weekend experience with Dr. Patrick that Mike just alluded to a little bit earlier, and we'll be coming out with some writing to you. I'm finding it a little more labor-intensive to do that part, but we'll get it out. And it appears that we're going to land a focus in three areas to begin with, but we'll get to other areas as well. And so we're going to look at mutual mentoring. We'll define that to you in a letter. We're going to look at community engagement. And we're going to look at onboarding. So I'll send out an email to those of you who I have an address for, and I'll try to get a hard copy to those who I don't have an address for. But we'll set forth some... We will gather some committees together, some work committees, and set forth many, many steps, action steps, and it'll be a three-year plan, so we'll have something to work on. And we are not going to go quietly into the night. We're going to go out holding a banner. I'm just nervous about meeting Paul and Peter, not going out strong. Or those apostles that got beheaded. We gotta do our part. So, and we will. The Lord's stirring it in our hearts, so I know that it will come to pass. We have landed in the book of Deuteronomy. And as you see on the bulletin, if you did not get one, there's one for you on the back table, just on the top of the staircase there. We landed in the book of Deuteronomy, and the next several weeks have been mapped out for you on that bulletin that's in the back of the chapel there. Deuteronomy comes from the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, and it means repeat, second law. Essentially, he's rehearsing back what was already spoken in Exodus, in large part, reminding the children of Israel, and we, by extension, the covenant that is now referred to as the Mosaic Covenant. And there's warnings constantly throughout this book, particularly on heeding his word and following it closely. And penalties for those for not following it, and then it ends the book of Deuteronomy forecasting that we will likely not be able to keep the covenant, the Mosaic Covenant, and that ended up being very true, but that underscored the need for there to be a new covenant offered through Jesus Christ. I got a text message from Rachel, I think it was 2 weeks ago, and she said the Reformed Church of America, formerly the Dutch Reformed Church, is about to split primarily over three issues, and her church is in that conglomerate called the Reformed Church of America, and her church is leaning towards breaking away from the Reformed Church of America because they are moving away from the inerrancy of the scripture, number one. Number two, they are offering that all roads lead to heaven. And by the way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. So he said that he's the road. And I always tell people, well, how do you know all this pantheon of gods, all the various paths out there? How did you make your choice? I simply say, I go with the guy that has the marks in his hands and the wound in his side. If Muhammad shows up with one of those, I'll give him a close look. But so far, Jesus is the only one that took nails in his hands for me, nails in his ankles for me, a spear in his side for me. I'm going to go with the guy with the battle scars. And if I'm wrong, well, okay. Just a little simple way to look at it. And then the third thing that they are splitting on, or that is a controversy in that reform setting, is accepting everyone's lifestyle. Come as you are. I told you about a church in Minneapolis on Park Avenue, 31st and Park in Midtown Minneapolis. The moniker is All God's Children. You come as you are. But the problem is you can stay as you are as well. And the only way you can come to Jesus is as you are. He changes you. He's not going to leave you as you are. And he expects you to be conformed to his image. And he gives us a path for doing that. So you come as you are, certainly. You just can't stay as you are. Being true to yourself will have you going someplace that's hot. Don't be true to yourself. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, this theme is carried out, the seriousness of holding to his word. I'm going to read the first two verses. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you, and do them, that you may live and go in and take possession of the land that the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. So the promised land, they haven't taken possession, they're about to go in. Verse 2, you shall not add to the word that I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. Don't change my word. When he said the day is going to come when you establish kings for yourself, and there's a passage in Deuteronomy 17 that prescribes how a king should be in that economy. In 17:14, Deuteronomy 17:14, when you come to the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you possess it and dwell in it, and then say, I will set a king over me like all the nations that are around me, you may indeed set a king over you whom the Lord your God will choose. One from among your brothers you shall set as king over you. You may not put a foreigner over you who is not your brother. Only you must not acquire many horses for himself or cause the people to return to Egypt in order to acquire many horses, since the Lord has said to you, you shall never return that way again. And he shall not acquire many wives for himself, lest his heart turn away, nor shall he acquire for himself excessive silver and gold. Verse 18, and when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself in a book a copy of this law, approved by the Levitical priest, and it shall be with him, and he shall read in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by keeping all the words of this law and these statutes and doing them, that his heart may not be lifted up above his brothers, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment either to the right or to the left, so that he may continue long in his kingdom, he and his children in Israel. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it in it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, When you get away from God's word, when I get away from God's word, Tom was instructing me yesterday about the Lord being far from you, right? I forgot how you said it, Tom. But you've got to have his word near you to have him near you. And you learn the fear of the Lord by being in his word and seeing it and valuing it so much that you are in it constantly. And you learn by staying in the book and heeding the instruction and following the corrections to fear him. That is to hate evil. The hatred of evil is the beginning of the fear of the Lord. To hate what he hates, to love what he loves. And because men and women don't do this, we have churches like All God's Children and Stay As You Are and Let's Wave This Flag and That Flag. Our hearts are desperately wicked. My heart's desperately wicked. Sadly, I have to announce to you that your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can't follow your heart. You've got to lead your heart. You know, I watched the movie Fireproof about 25 to 35 times. I used to work out to it. And that's what the lieutenant said to his captain. You can't follow your heart. He was contemplating a divorce. You've got to lead your heart. And you got to take God's word, use God's word to lead your heart. In this passage that I go to often with you in Jude, because I'm addicted to it, verse 3, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you, so Jude was going to write on a different topic. But the Holy Spirit impressed upon his mind to change the topic and write on something else. I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, which is what he was going to write about. How we're saved and how wonderful it is and what it entails. I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. Now notice verse 4. For certain people have crept in. That's what's happening in these churches. Certain people are creeping in with agendas. And their agenda is to follow their own philosophy. Their agenda is to quietly and unnoticeably at first change what we believe in. Sow the seed of doubt that maybe this isn't really the only book or that this isn't true or there's another way, or certainly God would understand you contemporizing it. After all, he's fully aware that society moves and changes, isn't he? I'm telling you one thing. My dad, I'm going to hear my dad's voice through God. He's going to say, if you do this, he's going to look you in the eye and say, what possessed you? That's what he said to me. My dad did. What possessed you to change my word? 1,000 years is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years. I've only been gone a day. What in the world possessed you to change my word? That's what he's going to say, something like that. So don't do it. And then if you find out, man, I could have been partying this whole time. You mean he understood that we would change it? I could have been partying. Well, then, you know, you'll be in heaven and it'll go, well, oh, I'm in heaven. So find out. Just follow the rules and have the blessing later. Verses 17 through 23 in that same chapter, there's only one chapter in Jude. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers, following their own ungodly passions. Your theology dictates your morality dictates your theology. If you find an errant theology, I almost guarantee you what you will find underneath in that person's life is a failure in their morality. They're trying to make space for it. Your morality dictates your theology. That's what he's really saying here. It is, verse 19, these who cause divisions. don't they? Holy, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, you see, it's not unloving what God is saying. People will say, well, I was born that way. I told you, I was born lusting after women. I'm not proud of this because it's kind of embarrassing right now as I'm saying it. But I've been lusting after women since I was 5 years old. I was born that way. So should I just do that too? Being born a certain way is no excuse. We all have a sin nature. We were born with a sin nature. You might lust after a tree. I might lust after a robin. Okay? Doesn't matter what the lust is. God says, come to me. You're broken. And I'm going to give you a new nature and follow me and I'll help you go in the way of godliness. Why did he leave us with sin natures? I don't know. I wish I knew. But that's beyond the point, isn't it? We've got to follow what he says. Keep yourselves, verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. And how do you do that? In the word. Faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And praying in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Father, I just pray you help me. Cause me to, I see this word. I see the pulls in my life. I see my wayward thinking. But Father, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. And be earnest about it. And he'll change you. And he'll give you the grace. If you'll limp and hold his arm, he won't let you fall. Praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves, verse 21, in the love of God. He that hath my commandments, John 14, 21, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. That's how you keep yourself in the love of God. Follow his commandments. Waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. We're on a trip. We're on a journey to eternal life. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, right? It begins here, John 17, 3, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So you're on the journey. It's not pie in the sky by and by. It begins now, eternal life, and to know him. So when I get saved, and all of us should be on a very earnest journey to seek God. What are you seeking? Seek his ways, seek his thoughts, get his mind. I'm on that journey every day. That should be your thought process. It should be your every waking desire. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear. Hating even the garment stained by the flesh. In 2 Peter, I want to go there. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. And back in chapter 1, in verse 5 through 9, for this very reason, 2 Peter 1:5, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue. To supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge. So we're to be building. We're to be waking up every morning to build every day, seeking to build. And knowledge, add to that self-control. And self-control, steadfastness. And steadfastness, add godliness to that. And to godliness, brotherly affection, and brotherly affection, add love to that. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, that's the key. If you are not settling for neutral. If you are not saying, well, I've been saved 46 years, that's it, I'm good. But if you're growing, you know, one of the things that blessed my heart about 2 years ago, I think it was, Leonard said, I found it. Thank you for that. He was making reference to a point in one of my sermons. You know, I couldn't figure that out about forgiveness, and now I understand it. So here's this 87-year-old man at the time, still learning, still increasing. You don't have an excuse. There's no retirement. I know some of you look like you might be in the retirement years. No retirement in the spirit walk. You got to be growing like Leonard, making discovery. That's fantastic. The path of the righteous grows brighter day by day. So the light should be getting brighter, not dimmer, as you walk towards the end of your life. So that blessed my heart. For if these qualities are in you and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then watch the warning in verse 9 here. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, I'm going to go on to verse 10. Brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. He's saying if you're ever increasing in all those things he listed, that's the surest way to not fall. You're still going to sin here and there. But you're building, you're climbing, you have a goal, and your goal is to be like Christ, to arrive at the end. We began by saying God is serious about us not changing his word, not adding to it or subtracting from it. And I'm going to take you to the final warning in the scripture. It's in the final book, in the final chapter of the final book, in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, verse 18. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And sure enough, the children of Israel disobeyed as it was forecasted, and those curses that are in Deuteronomy 28 and 29 were added to them. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book, so adding, subtracting, either one of this prophecy, God will take away his share in the tree of life. I'm telling you what, they can split if they want to. They're not going to heaven. All my children, or whatever they call themselves on Park Avenue, Midtown, Minneapolis, gone. Because dad's going to say, what possessed you? That's just the way it bounces. Amen.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. we just thank you for this morning. We thank you for everyone that you brought with us to share in this wonderful day and to join together in fellowship. And we just ask that your presence be with everyone on their way home to keep them safe. Lord, we just thank you for the message this morning that when we come as we are, but when we leave, we can't leave the same way because you need to keep building those blocks upon us with the knowledge and the goodness, and we need to be in the Word, and we just thank you for that message this morning. Lord, we know that your love will always be there to lift us up, and we just thank you. We praise you, and we are just so thankful for Jesus Christ who came and saved, died on the cross for us, that we will see you again in eternity. It's in your name I pray. Amen.